This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. They used to be a shopper's first choice. These days, Sears and Kmart are in a struggle to keep the doors open. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is with us. And Daniel, I grew up in Metro Detroit. Sears and Kmart, those were the first places my folks went for clothing or toys or my dad's tools or stuff for the house, stuff for the car. And now?
Nowadays, they're fast moving to extinction, I think. I had the same experience. I mean, my father, who was a big tool guy on the weekends and everything, always lectured me, get your hand tools at Sears, the Craftsman brand. That's what you need. And I do have Craftsman tools in my basement and to this day. But 20 years ago, I remember covering Kmart here in Troy when they were trying to be relevant and they were trying to fight back against Target and Walmart. 20 years ago, I mean, and this has just continued and continued this downward spiral. And now it's accelerating thanks to you and me and everybody else who orders their whatever they need on the internet.
It is an internal battle for consumers. I mean, you don't want that longtime store that you probably shopped at with your parents to go away. But it is really tough to beat the convenience of sitting there in your pajamas, making a few clicks in the boxes on your front porch. So is there a balance? What was missing? What didn't happen as these retailers were trying to cope with these new changes?
I think you have a couple of things. One is a lot of these stores tended to be in older suburbs and locations that people kind of left behind. I think that's one thing. Another thing is these legacy companies just didn't keep up with what was happening in the marketplace. And they were essentially, you know, fighting the last retail war, and retail was changing and shifting underneath them, and they were not able to scramble. And I think you see this a lot in industries where there are companies that can reinvent themselves. And despite all the problems that the Detroit automakers have had, they have been around for 100 years, and they are moving into a whole new phase of mobility and autonomous vehicles and electrification, the stuff we've talked about. So you can do it. But I think with retailers, the barriers to entry are a lot lower, and people can get in the game. And when you have someone like Amazon who has an approach to selling that they bring to the marketplace, and it's scalable, and they can just carry all sorts of things, more and more people will say, you know what, I can buy it on Amazon, or I have a contractor friend who every time you talk about anything, you know what he says? Yeah. I say, where do I get that? He says, oh, just go on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. It'll be at your house in two. I mean, he doesn't even think about it. He says, you know, you can buy that on Amazon, which sometimes is true. I found that, and sometimes it's not true. But you know, I think people are getting to the point where they're going to have to make choices. I've long believed that, you know, economic behavior has consequences. And if you lived in Michigan, for example, and you decided you were going to go out and buy your Honda, or you're going to buy your Toyota, you've made a choice, and that has an implication and an impact on the companies that live and operate in your community and employ your neighbors and friends. And I think it's the same thing with, you know, your general e-commerce. You know, do you decide you want to support the local guy? You want to go out and buy something that maybe you could order online, but you say, you know what, this guy's in my community, I want to support him. I try to do that sometimes, and I think other people do, but I don't know to what extent the vast majority of us do that.
And as you think of, the bad news with Sears and Kmart, and tell us exactly what is that dire news? There's been kind of a new blast of trouble.
Yeah, well, they said in a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission that there was some real concern that they would not survive, that they would not remain, as it's called, a going concern. And the CFO came onto a company blog earlier this week and said, well, it's not quite that bad, and we've gotten a certification from our accountant that we should be able to operate as we need to operate through the year. But I think the feeling on the street, I mean, the stock dropped 12% in one day. There are people that are saying, you know, this is kind of the end of Sears as we know it. And if they go into bankruptcy, I think a lot of people think that one thing that will not come out of bankruptcy probably is Kmart. So we could be seeing the end of Kmart, which, interestingly enough, was started here in Metro Detroit in Garden City in 1962 by what was then the S.S. Kresge Company, or corporation, that had been around since the late 19th century.
And then add to that Macy's closing stores, JCPenney closing stores, and for the communities, as you say, where these stores are located, lost jobs, lost tax revenue.
Yeah, and the other thing, and not only that, but some of these, think about these malls. These stores, like a Macy's, they are anchors. These things are huge. So what are you going to do in a community with that building, right? Mm-hmm. And so it puts a lot of pressure on the local economic development officials, on the city councils and town councils, and on mayors to figure out what they're going to do. There have been some reports this week about an artist rendering of what they might do with Northland Mall in Southfield, and how they might take the old Macy's building and make it into a mixed-use residential kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So essentially it would be condos on top of small shop retail with a parking deck and everything, and using that whole big Hulk. Well, that's a great idea if they can pull it off. But that's happening all around Metro Detroit with all these Macy's stores that have now closed. It's a real challenge.
And when you think of cost-cutting and closing stores and belt-tightening, we watched that happen in Kmart, and it completely transformed the stores from the lively places they used to be, and then what a lot of us have seen as we've gone into these stores recently.
Yeah, if we go into them, I think that's the other thing. I mean, they're just – a lot of retail, I find, can be – particularly big box retail can be very depressing when you go into it, particularly the chains like we're talking about that have clearly seen a better day. When you think about Sears, I mean, when you and I were growing up, we can still remember the Sears catalog, right?
Oh, the Sears catalog was huge. And it's surprising, and you point out in your column today, Daniel, that Sears really seemed to have the ingredients that could or should have stood the test of time with the brands like Craftsman and Kenmore, and that Sears catalog was a fixture in our homes.
Yeah, and so why don't they make the jump, you ask yourself. Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that, but the reality is that when they did, they didn't do it fast enough and they didn't do it soon enough. And this is where you have innovators who can come in and say, you know what, Sears is going to be, somebody said this, but I wouldn't be surprised, Sears is going to be too slow and they're not going to be able to get out of their own way, and we've got an idea and we're going to beat them to the punch. And that's essentially what's happened.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.